You can be seated. Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for coming. We've gathered here today to celebrate the life of Dan Hildebrandt, and we'd like to start by opening in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the life of Dan Hildebrandt. Lord, we thank you for the influence he had in our life. And Lord, as we come here together, Lord, we just pray that you would embrace us, that as we mourn, you would comfort us, that as we remember, we would have such fond memories and have joy in our hearts. So Lord, as we open up this service, we do so in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to begin with singing some songs of praise. If you could open in your handbooks to number 381, "It Is Well With My Soul," and you can stand with me. Number 381. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, a trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Next, we would like to turn to number 104, "Nothing But the Blood." For Dan Hildebrandt had his faith in Jesus Christ, and it is Christ's blood which saved him. Thank you. wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
You may be seated. I would just like to read a little something that was put together by Verna Stacy, which was Dan Hildebrand's sister-in-law, who was married to Dan's brother, Tim, who has passed away quite some time ago. Dan was one of three boys as the middle child, born respectively in 1949, 1950, and 1951. His dad, Isaac Hildebrand, was a church pastor. His mom, Lenora, was mainly a stay-at-home mom, graduated from Briar Bible College. Following in their footsteps, both Dan and his older brother, Dave, also they also graduated at Briarcrest Bible College. As a child, Dan moved with his family around a number of communities in Saskatchewan, Manitoba. They were highly involved in the church, and they lived in Saskatoon, Looseland, and Altona, Manitoba. Dan's dad passed away in 1975 in Altona. His mom passed away in 2003 in Munster, Saskatchewan. Dan joined the Canadian Armed Forces in 1969 at the age of 18. He received training as a mechanic. In 1973, he was in Cyprus, and in 1974 to 75, he was in Egypt. 7 years later, he left the Army in 1976. After leaving the Army, Dan attended Briarcrest Bible College. That's when he attended Briarcrest and received a bachelor's degree. After completion, he had compassion for the underprivileged and those living in the margins of society. He would go out of his way, sometimes at his own expense. Further to this, he worked as a city bus driver and taxi driver in Calgary and in Edmonton. Dan loved to read. He read books of religion, but also fiction with Western themes and others. He had a large collection of singing books, especially church hymns, and loved listening to music. He had at one time in his early life collected the entire Elvis Presley record package. Dan was very close to his mother. They shared many similar interests, such as planting and nurturing plants, and they loved to watch and identify different bird species. Dan also enjoyed nature, had compassion for animals. Due to his chronic health problems, Dan walked around Saskatoon for great distances, and he enjoyed outings as much as he could with the health that he had. Dan leaves to mourn his brother David and his wife Heather, who are missionary teachers in Africa. He has a nephew and niece, Jason, age 37, and Natasha, age 30. They are children of his brother Timothy. Tim predeceased him. Sorry, this is cut off a little bit. And then, as an adult educator for many years, Timothy was an adult educator for many years until his death at age of 46. And he traveled extensively. Dan's sister-in-law, Verna, Tim's widow, resides in Winnipeg. And this is what Verna, his sister-in-law, wanted to share. And it gives a little bit of an insight to David. Thank you.
Hi. I guess I got to know Dan pretty well. I just have some thoughts that I wanted to share about Dan. Dan started attending our church many years ago, and I'm sorry I don't have dates, but I'm sure that's not that important. When Pastor George was still a pastor here, and before Dan moved to Saskatoon, he had been living in Edmonton, as you already heard. I didn't know what else would be shared here, so I just shared the thoughts that I had and things that came out of the conversations that I had with Dan. There for a time, he was a city transit driver, and after that, I believe he was also, he drove for a taxi company. After moving to Saskatoon, Dan decided to go to Briarcrest Bible School, where he spent the next 4 years. Dan wanted to be a Christian do Christian counseling. So we didn't see Dan a lot those days. Every now and then he would come by the church during the summer. He spent a lot of time with his mom in Humboldt, where he helped to take care of his mom's large garden. Dan loved gardening. He planted a few things at his apartment where he lived outside his window. At his apartment, he had a basement suite till his landlord asked him not to do it anymore. Dan, I believe, grew up in Saskatoon, at least for a time. His dad was a pastor. Dan never had a lot of fond memories of growing up. At least he never shared them with me. He talked about his childhood memories as not very fondly. He felt that his dad was rather abusive towards him. And so as he grew up, he despised his dad, the church, and God, and he turned his back on all that. And so he joined the army, and he served overseas for a time. He was never involved in combat. I believed he served as a mechanic. After completing his stint in the army, Dan became involved in a wrong crowd. He was in the drug scene. I know he told me what kind of drugs that he had been taking and he was addicted to, but I don't remember, and that's not really important. But I do remember the last time he became high, or actually he was just coming off the drugs that God confronted him and told him it was time for him to turn around, to change to give his life to God. And so he did. at that very time. And when he gave his life to Christ, Dan did a 180. He gave up drugs, started going to church, and as far as I can remember, it telling me that there is no withdrawals. He was done. God gave him complete victory over that at that time. And so that was, and Dan was really on fire for the Lord. He was witnessing to his friends. I believe at the time he was also living with a girl at that, and he realized that that was not doing the right thing, and so he asked her to move out. Being involved in counseling never really worked out for Dan, so he gave up on that, and he tried a few other jobs here in the city, which unfortunately didn't work out for him neither. So Dan ended up on welfare, but he was also involved in our church for a time. He was an Awana leader. He was also the missions director, and he also attended some of our church small groups occasionally. Dan would have loved to have been married, but he often shared how he would like to have had a woman in his life, but he also realized that he was so set in his ways that he wouldn't know which woman would want to live with him. And for the last number of years, Dan's health began to fail. The medications he was given him, gave him bad diarrhea. And so he had to plan his day very carefully. And he wouldn't be able to go out after eating. And if he was planning on going out, he wouldn't eat all day until he would come home. Dan and I would go out for meals or coffee. We called it coffee, but we didn't ever have coffee. Once a month, sometimes more often, Dan liked to shop at the wholesale club on 8th Street, and so I would give him a ride when he needed one, quite often I would also be able to pay for his groceries, which really helped out Dan a lot because his income was very limited. I remember sometime after his mom passed away that Dan and I, we drove together to Humboldt to see where his mom had lived and the huge garden and all the trees that he liked to take care of. At that time, it was not sold yet. His brother was trying to sell it. And Dan and I enjoyed the trip. I know I did, because I got to see what Dan was talking about. When we got to Humboldt, then he showed me around, and so it was just a really neat time that we spent together. The last number of years, Dan spent his days he spent a lot of his days. He would go at least once a day. He would take the bus to Mulberry's downtown, where he would meet his friends. He would have coffee, and then on his way back, then he would walk back and pick pop cans, which helped to subsidize his welfare check. One thing about Dan, he never complained to me about our times that we spent together. When we came together, he was always cheerful and happy to time and happy with when I spent time with him. And the last number of times, I visited Dan once in the hospital, and then after that, I phoned him a few times. And before he passed away, I think I called him maybe just, I don't know, 3 or 4 days before he passed away. And Dan was very comfortable with where he was. He wasn't afraid to die. He had made his peace with the Lord, and he was always very confident in his position in Christ. But one thing that Dan found, the only thing that he was disappointed in, he was hoping that he wouldn't have to die a physical death, but the rapture would take place before that would happen. And that didn't happen, but in any case, Dan ended up in the same place. Didn't matter, rapture or physical death. But so, yeah, Dan was a good guy to have as a friend. I know he was very strong opinionated about some things, and so we never really argued about them, but I just let him talk, and that was good. So thank you.
At this time, we wanted to provide a short time to have an open mic if anybody wanted to share any memories or anything that they wanted to say to Dan before give you some lasting peace. So I'll give the microphone to Mitch and maybe he can deliver it if somebody wanted to say something. Okay.
I'm Shirley Friesen. I'm sorry. I have to really deal with this. I feel quite negligent that I didn't visit Dan more. I am a first cousin to him, and Dave and I are in contact all the time. And so I've been visiting with his brother Dave in Africa on the phone. And so Dave asked if I wouldn't step in for him here because it was not feasible for him to come all the way from the Nassau Theological College, where he was facing a week of exams with his students. And his wife Heather was teaching there too. And they work with people all day, most of the day, with children's work as well as with pastors, young pastors who are actually studying how to be pastors. So I'm very thankful for all of you for coming to the funeral. And I'll tell David that I told you, and I'll pass it on. And I'm thankful for his friends here. And I'm thankful for Mitchell for doing so much of the work here to get this ready. I didn't know that Dan had died until it must have been a week later for sure. And David phoned me from Africa. But I'm very thankful that it's brought together. There's a lot of work been done. And thank you for doing this. And that all this came together this well. We are thankful that Dan did find the Lord in his life because he did not have an easy life. But thanks for being here.
As we were preparing for this service, we contacted his brother David and several of the family, and we gave them an opportunity because we knew they couldn't be here, to write a letter to Dan, that they may have an opportunity to say something to him. And so I'm going to read a couple of letters. One is from Verna Stacy, who you know wrote the really good obituary. So here's her letter. Dear Dan, you have reached the end of your earthly life. I know that you are resting now in heaven with your Lord Jesus Christ, in the company of your mom and dad and brother Tim. I have regrets, as we humans all do, in not having more constant communication with you over the years. I hope this letter expresses what I would have preferred to say in person. Since Mom, Leonora, passed away in 2003 and David and Heather moved to Africa in 2008, we haven't traveled in your direction. I know the last time we saw each other was at David and Heather's wedding at Moose Jaw in 2003, and 2 months later at Mom's funeral in Munster. As is often the case, we reconnect with family at these very occasions, weddings and funerals. At those times, Jason and Natasha were also present, and you were interested in how your niece and nephew had grown and asked what they were doing with their lives. You looked like you were proud of them, but you often had difficulty expressing your positive feelings. We also spoke for a long chat on the phone when Tasha was getting married a few years ago, and you offered your best wishes. I want to sincerely thank you, Dan, for traveling to Thompson over 550 miles away in midwinter 1998 and spending time with us and Tim before he succumbed to cancer a couple of months later. That was a long trip for you, considering your diabetes and other health conditions were flaring up. I recall you were in considerable pain and discomfort. You went out for long walks. I believe that was how you dealt with both physical and emotional pain. Your health had been a concern for some time, and you also came to Tim's funeral a couple months later in March. That was a crisis year for all of our family. I know, Dan, that your caring and compassion for others at times got you into trouble. You were generous to a fault and sometimes gave away much of what you had to others in need. Such a heart and spirit is to be commended. In these ways, you have paved your way to your eternal rest with Jesus. Now, I want to tell you about Jason and Natasha. Similar to your interest in world travel when you were with the armed forces, they have both traveled and lived in Europe, as well as Jason lived and volunteered in Africa and Natasha in New Zealand. Jason is now 37 years old and married to Melissa, a teacher, and they have an 8-month-old baby, Emily, living in Winnipeg. In the midst of his parental leave from his job with the Manitoba government to stay home to care for Emily, Jason was diagnosed with lung tumor. He has recently had surgery to remove it. He is a compassionate and sensitive young man and a wonderful dad, like his own dad, Tim, was. Natasha is 30 years old and is married to another Jason, an engineer, and has kept her own name. She is completing a PhD at the University of BC in Vancouver. Natasha is a strong, caring, and resourceful young woman. Neither of them could attend your funeral, as Jason is still not well to travel and is caring for the baby, and Natasha teaches at the university in Vancouver and was unable to leave. I know that David and Heather also wanted to be present, but after serious consideration, they held a memorial service for you in Africa instead. I also want to share this time with family members here, especially Shirley and Bill Friesen, and to remember and celebrate Dan's life with all of you here today. But I was unable to come as I helped Jason care for the baby. On behalf of my children and myself, I am making a small donation to your church in gratitude for your being Dan's church family and for the organization of this funeral service for carrying out the final aspects of Dan's life. Thank you to Mitchell Fair and your pastor for all you've done for Dan. I know from our communication that I speak for David and Heather as well. May God bless you all. Sincerely and with love, Verna Stacey. And I also received a letter from David Hildebrand, Dan's remaining brother. It says, "Hi, Dan. Just a short note. We would like you to know that since your heart attack about 2 months ago, we, Heather and I, and our college have been praying for you. We have been praying for your health issues and God, and that God's will would be done in your life. We would have liked to stick around a little longer with you, as we are a long way away and little chance of coming back to Saskatchewan from Tanzania right now. But you are at home with Jesus, free from pain and your troubling health issues. You are my last brother. Tim died some 19 years ago. I am the last of our immediate family, and it's a bit lonely. When we returned to Canada on our 2 home assignments, I always knew that I had family in Saskatchewan, but now you have gone to heaven, and I am left here alone. But God's will and timing is always perfect. NTC had a comforting service for us, kind of like a memorial service, but not so much, last week. The offering taken at that service and given to us will be sent in your name to one of our former students who are missionaries in another area of Africa, a more or less unreached people group here in Tanzania is where they are. This will encourage and help them in their ministry. We will not say goodbye. Instead, we will say we will see you later. You are not lost, just gone ahead. David and Heather." You know, the Bible says that it's actually good for us to be here today. In Ecclesiastes 7:2, God says, "It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every person. The living should take this to heart." In other words, God says that it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. It's better to be in a cemetery than a football game. And there's at least 3 reasons I can think of for this. First, this is a time for us to celebrate the life that God gave to Dan. We're sad that he's gone, but we also want to remember Dan's uniqueness. We know Dan was an avid book reader. We know Dan served our country in the military. We know Dan was a bit of a hoarder. We know Dan enjoyed solitude. We know Dan did ministry on the streets in Saskatoon and served the Lord wherever he could. We know Dan lived in the areas where he tried to do his ministry. And we know Dan was a believer and followed Jesus Christ. Second, it's a time for us to say goodbye to Dan. This service will help us celebrate and honor his life and begin the process of letting go. As well, for Dan's remaining brother serving as a missionary in Africa and for his sister-in-law in Winnipeg, who could not be here, It's an opportunity for us to pray for them and recognize their loss. And third, it's a time for us to take a look at our own lives. We are, after all, going to pass someday unless the rapture happens beforehand. In fact, out of all the people here today, a rather sobering thought is somebody's going to be next. It's a great time to ask some questions. Questions like, am I ready to die? And where will I go when my life is over? When it comes down to it, this service isn't really about Dan. It's really for the living, not for the dead. And so we're going to remember and we're going to say goodbye and we're going to reflect on our own lives at the same time. Some people often question the timing of when people pass. And the only conclusion we can draw from Scripture is that sometimes, every time, it's just our time. And this was Dan's time. Ecclesiastes 3:2 reminds us that there is a time to be born and a time to die. While we don't understand why Dan died at the time that he did, we do know it was his appointed time to pass. And more importantly, knowing that Dan was a brother in Christ, we can reflect on Philippians 1:21-23. And it says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going to live in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. When I begin to meditate on these words, I thought that they were so fitting for this occasion. When Dan lived, he lived to serve the Lord in his own place, in his own way, as he was designed to do. Yes, he encountered difficulty. Yes, he encountered failures in the various ways he tried to provide for himself. But the Lord was always with him. And now it is certainly better for him. He is with the Lord that he loves so much. He's no longer experiencing temptation. He's no longer experiencing the pain and discomfort or any anguish. It goes to say to die is gain, or that dying is even better. Paul was so convinced of this fact that he says to the Corinthian Christians, as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. That is why we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So our aim is to please him always, whether we are here in this body or away from this body. To understand what this means, we need to grasp a great truth, that knowing Christ is really wonderful. Sometimes we confuse knowing about Christ with knowing him personally. Given what I've found out about Dan, I suspect Dan knew Christ, and now he knows him even better. To die is gain. In the company of angelic hosts and the saints who have gone on before, he now sees Christ in his glory and is able to worship him as he longed to do when he was here on earth. What comes as a challenge to us today is that while we celebrate the fact that Dan is able to do this in an unrestrained way now, he also lived a life of service while on earth. He lived the truth. For me to live is Christ. Now he enjoys the truth that dying is even better. So where do we fit in? Are we living for Christ now while we have the opportunity? Are we allowing a Christ life to allow to be lived through our lives? Are we in a relationship with him? At this time of parting, there can be sorrow, but weeping is only for a time. Psalm 35 says, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And joy is coming. Dan already knows this now. For us, we will know it too. If we mourn, we will get to know it. The day will come when we will leave these mortal bodies. If we know Christ as our Savior, we will be with him. And then we shall begin to understand these words even more so. Until then, let us determine to serve the Lord and to serve others with our lives. And if we look once again to Dan's life and see it as a life of willing sacrifice and service, now he is reaping the reward of that service. I have a question for you today. How do you feel about dying? Are you ready to do some spiritual business today if you need to do so? James 4:14 says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then it vanishes." I'm certain Dan was not planning to pass when he did. But since life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then passes away, it was his time to go. And none of us know when that will happen. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what day will bring forth." You know, some people are always bragging about what they're going to do. One of these days, I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to tackle this in the next little while. But that day may never come. And this passage tells us two things. That life is unpredictable. We don't know what will happen next, much less next week or next year. And life is brief. Our lives are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. For those of us, as we get older, we notice that time seems to pass more quickly. Some of us probably recall as a child, we were waiting for Christmas and it would be a week away and it was going to be forever. And today it's like, wow, I better get Christmas shopping. It's tomorrow. Life is too unpredictable and it's too brief. And it's so much even more so without God at the center. We generally, when we ask people, how old are you? And they give their life in what measurement? Unless you're an infant, they give it in years. But yet, Psalm 90:12 says us to number our days. The truth of the matter is all of us, at one point, will have our time. I'm going to close this message today with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you for Dan. We thank you for the life and for the example that he set for us, Lord. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you that he is now experiencing eternal salvation, the promise of eternal life with you. Lord, we just raise up his brother David and his wife and his sister-in-law and, Lord, the remaining family that are left. Lord, we pray that you will comfort those who mourn, that they will know your embrace, Lord, and that you will hold them in a loving and tenderly way. Lord, as we prepare to leave this day, Lord, would you just come and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, minister to us this day, comfort us in our mourning, and allow us to know a better life with you. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just like to have our closing hymn, number 10 in your hymnals, "How Great Thou Art," number 10. Great thou art, then
driven through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel a gentle breeze, then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sends my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Just a short announcement. We'll be departing for Woodlawn Cemetery for the interment. For those who would like to follow, we'll probably be leaving in about 15 minutes or so. We'll give you a chance to visit in the lobby, if you will, and we'll space the timing from there. Would you please stand?